There are a lot of topics which I think we as Christians are comfortable approaching. Things that we say, oh yeah, I can do that. That makes sense. I can, and it's anything from, you know, volunteering to be on a committee. And most of us are a little reticent at that because, you know, we all know in the church world, if you volunteer to be on a committee, you may never get back off of that committee. There's a degree to which there is the trap of success. If you do something well, everyone goes, oh, great, you did that great. That's your job now. But we all know that that's something that we can do. It's not that awful or huge a thing. You know, sometimes when we are asked to participate in leading a worship service, whether you're here as my assistant minister or maybe you're coming over here to be the lector, there's a degree of worry and anxiety attached to that because, of course, you're doing something in front of a crowd of people. And most human beings find themselves a little nervous when public speaking. It's the most common fear, actually. You know, the old joke is, you know, if you look statistically speaking at the number of people who have a phobia of public speaking and the number of people who have a phobia of dying, there's more people afraid of public speaking. So folks would rather maybe be the one being preached over than the one preaching at a funeral. I think for a lot of people, if you had the choice, they'd definitely rather not be the one speaking. Some of us are mutants, and we've just always enjoyed getting in front of people, and I don't know why that happens to some humans, but here I am. But one of the things that I have found in my life that is common is that when it comes down to the traditional spiritual disciplines of the church, most of us have some degree of reticence. And it's a combination of a lot of different things. I will never forget, at my first field assignment while I was in seminary, my first year in seminary, they assign you to a congregation. That's your field assignment. So on Sunday, you would be expected to go to that congregation, worship with that congregation, and then serve in whatever capacities they needed you to serve in. And my first day there as their new student, they very kindly threw me a get-to-know-you potluck dinner. So following the service, we all adjourned to the fellowship hall, which kind of in standard fashion was in the basement. I don't know why it's always in the basement, but it is. And we went down there and all of the food was sitting out and we were all just kind of standing around. Now, my first field supervisor was the pastor there, but he'd only been a civilian pastor for a few years. Before that, he'd been a military chaplain. And in fact, he'd been a colonel, and he was fairly accustomed to being an officer. And he had not yet learned how to talk to a congregation as a pastor. He was still used to talking to soldiers as an officer. And so we're all standing around, and we're standing around, and I'm thinking to myself, well, when are we going to eat? So I say to the church council president, are we waiting for something? And he says, well, we need to pray first. I said, oh, is pastor going to pray? Because the food's starting to get cold. And he's like, I'm not going to ask him, you ask him. And I was like, why is that? He says, oh, last time we had something right after he got here, I asked him if he was going to pray, and he was like, what's the matter that you need me to pray? Don't you know how to pray? Don't you have a mouth? Doesn't God talk to you? You're a Lutheran. You should know we're a priesthood of all believers, and God listens to everyone the same. Why don't you get out there and do the prayer? He had not yet quite learned how to talk to civilians. He was still kind of in that, I'm going to teach this private something mode. The theology is accurate, though. The theology is accurate. I mean, any of us can pray. It doesn't have to be a professional religious person to do the prayers. But I think for most of us, if I were to reach a point in the service where I said, I think we need a word of prayer, and I just pointed to a random one of you and said, would you please stand up in front of the congregation and pray? Most of us would say, I'd rather not. Thank you very much. Because it's that combination of fear of public speaking, and there is something or other about practicing the discipline of whether it's prayer or speaking about God or speaking about our faith in God. There's a degree to which it makes us all a little anxious and nervous, right? Jesus takes his disciples aside, and he's like, hey, have you noticed that the crowds really need someone to teach them about God and lead them? And the disciples are all going, yeah, I've noticed that. And Jesus basically looks at them and says, okay, soldier, time for you to go out and do it yourself. And I have to imagine there was some degree of reticence on their part too. I have to imagine they looked at each other and went, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And if you look at the list of the disciples, these are not trained public speakers. These are not people who have been theologically educated. We've got a bunch of fishermen, and we've got one tax collector and one zealot. By the way, zealots were people that fought tax collectors. That had to make for some interesting conversations around the fire on your average night. So Matthew, what'd you do for a living? Say that again? I was a tax collector? Oh my gosh, talk about an uncomfortable Thanksgiving. So here we have these varied individuals, and none of whom trained in this. And I have to imagine the first thing they did is they looked at Jesus and went, could you do this? Would it be better if maybe we had somebody more trained doing the public speaking? And Jesus says to them, I don't want you to worry. And everything then that comes after Jesus' introduction to the disciples that they're going to preach basically can be boiled down to the following words. Don't worry. Over and over and over again. Jesus gives them this list of, when we read it, it actually sounds like ridiculous instructions. You know, you're going to go on a long trip, you're going to go from town to town. By the way, don't pack your luggage. This is going to be difficult and arduous. Make sure you don't take any extra money with you. You're going to be going a long, long ways in strange and uncomfortable territory. Don't take any food with you. I have to imagine they were listening to all of this and thinking to themselves, you've clearly never packed for a long journey before. Which isn't true, because Jesus has made some long journeys. But then he says, and when you go into a town, find somebody that'll let you sleep on their couch. And when they do, just take whatever they got. If they've got just an old rickety couch that the dog sleeps on and that's where they want you to sleep, sleep there and don't complain about it. If they've got a feather bed on a four-poster and that's where they want you to sleep, sleep there. Don't worry about it. Just take whatever they're willing to offer you. If they serve you nothing but grilled cheese and peanut butter and jelly, that's what you're eating. Now, if they serve you, there's nothing wrong with peanut butter and jelly, but if they want to serve you ribeye, that's fine too, you know. Just take what's available and what's offered to you. But more importantly, and this is where I think the don't worry message really starts to come through. Preach the gospel. Tell people about God's love. Make it very clear what it is that the kingdom of God is doing. It's coming near them. It's coming into their midst. The kingdom of God is present, and all they need to do is hear the word of God's love. But it's not your responsibility to convince them. It is not your responsibility to change their hearts. It is not your responsibility to figure out how to get them to give up on their false beliefs and take on correct beliefs. It's just your responsibility to live the truth, demonstrate the truth, preach the truth. Live it, demonstrate it, preach it. And when you have done these things, if they listen to and follow and become believers and change their hearts and their lives by being in the presence of the kingdom of God, magnificent. And if they don't, it's not your job to fix them. Shake the dust off your shoes, walk away, go to the next place. As human beings, I think we always have some degree in our minds of this assumption that expressing the gospel of Jesus Christ is about convincing people. That it's about reasoning and rationalizing, and maybe, I'm not going to say that this is what anyone's thinking, but sometimes I've seen it work this way, manipulating a little bit. I love one of these ancient Renaissance traditions where the Roman Catholic Church sponsored theater. They sponsored these traveling theatrical groups whose sole and singular purpose was to set up along little small villages from place to place and put on these plays. But the plays were always the most horrendous thing you could ever imagine, because they were always representing how people were punished in hell. And so you would go, and you would go from tableau to tableau to tableau, where they'd show people getting sawn in half and burnt in fires and hung upside down. And the idea was that you would go and you would look at all of this terrifying imagery and come away and go, boy, I better believe in God a little harder. I don't want to do any of that. That looked awful. By the way, Martin Luther saw this and was just appalled. Yeah, from time to time, Christians have been a little manipulative about how we tell the message, because we've had this incorrect assumption that somehow the burden is on us to convince people of the truth of God's word. But it isn't. It hasn't been from the day that the apostles were set out. The burden on them was to live God's true gospel, to demonstrate God's true gospel, to preach the word of God so that people heard the true gospel, and then let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit's going to do. That if people hear and accept and believe, then they have been saved by the power of God. If people hear and they don't believe and they don't accept and they reject the Holy Spirit's nudging, it is what it is. It doesn't mean we give up on people. In fact, we don't. We keep preaching and proclaiming because eventually they'll hear. But it means we don't worry. See, again, everything that Jesus said to his disciples in that moment as he's sending them out could be summarized in the phrase, don't worry. What are we going to wear? Don't worry. What are we going to eat? Don't worry. Where are we going to live? Don't worry. Where are we going to sleep? Don't worry. What if people don't listen to us? Don't worry. It's that phrase that's actually not actually said, but it's in there over and over again, because Jesus wants them to understand that God will be with them, that God will give them strength, courage, hope, and that he will make the situations that they go into work. And that those who are ready to hear and to respond and to receive the word of God will. That God is going to do the heavy lifting. All they have to do is go. In our lives, we need to hear the same thing, because we worry a lot. Never met a human being in my life who didn't worry a lot. By the way, I mentioned to you that, you know, people are like, there are spiritual disciplines that we all get a little uncomfortable about when we're asked to do. Public speaking, definitely one of them. You know what another one is? I tell people that they need to pray and meditate. You know that the phrase pray and meditate appears in the Old Testament alone 63 times in tandem? Pray and meditate. Not like Eastern meditation. Meditation in the Old Testament, the New Testament, within Scripture, is about meditating on God's word, meditating on God's presence, meditating on God's promises, meditating on the hope that comes from God. It's about focusing our mind on thinking about all the ways that God is active through the scriptures and in our lives, and trusting in God. And I hear people tell me all the time, I'm really no good at meditation. I'm always like, are you good at worrying? Yeah. Well, then you're good at meditation. You're just meditating on the wrong things. You've gotten really good at meditating on everything that can go wrong, not everything that God can make go right. And this is what God, in the form of Jesus Christ, is speaking to the disciples about. Don't think about what things am I going to wear. Think about, how is God going to provide me for things to wear? Don't think about, what am I going to eat? Think about, what food is God going to provide for me today? Don't think about, where am I going to sleep? Think about, God's going to have somewhere wonderful for me to spend the night tonight. Don't think about, how am I going to get these people to believe in this message that I'm going to give? Think, how is God going to inspire me to speak this message today? It's about thinking about the right things. It's the opposite of worrying is trusting. The opposite of worrying is trusting. Trusting that God will work, is in our lives, and will always be present in everything we do. So I say to you all, I'm not going to make any of you get up and pray, don't worry, but I'm going to give you basically the same mandate that Jesus gave his 12 apostles. Go out in the world. Live the truth. Demonstrate the truth. And yes, speak God's truth to anyone who will listen. Tell people that God loves them. Tell people that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. Tell people that there is hope, there is new life, there is forgiveness, there is a right relationship to be found with God through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, in which the Holy Spirit enables us to live a new life. And if they laugh at you, they forget it, they reject it, it's not your responsibility to make them believe. Don't feel bad. You did what you were supposed to do. Persist. Persist, and God says you will receive your reward for your persistence. That's all that was asked of us. Just to persist and trust. Persist and trust. Amen.